The greatest danger is being thrown into the lake of fire. Most people will go there. Today, you're going to learn from Brother Dan Corner what the Bible says about how to avoid such and how to enter God's paradise kingdom. Contact Brother Dan at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301.
What is a backslider? Can a backslider ever return to God, or is he doomed to hell? How can a Christian prevent himself from backsliding? These are some of the questions that many people have and need clear, solid answers for, so let's begin. A backslider in the Bible is a person who once had salvation, but has since turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that he is now spiritually dead and lost again, just like he was before he became saved. Without doubt, the truly saved can backslide and get back on the road to hell again. Though we commonly call it backslide or backslider, the most common terms found throughout the New Testament are fall away, turn back, depart from the faith, fall from grace, drift away, wander away, turn to follow Satan, stray from the truth, etc. Those terms are synonymous with backslide. For years, here at Evangelical Outreach, we've heard the pitiful, heart-wrenching concerns and regrets of repentant backsliders, people who want to return to God, but they think they can't. Sometimes they're in tears sobbing over the past sins, thinking God will never take them back, and therefore they're doomed to go to hell. This has continued to the present day. That sort of religious deception is pure mental torment, but needless torment. This teaching about backsliding is great news for the repentant backslider, and it's basic to the Bible. So let's take a look at Asaph. Who was Asaph? Asaph is a person in the Old Testament, one who almost became a backslider. Asaph was also King David's chief musician. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 4 and 5, we learned that David appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Covenant, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord. And Asaph was the chief one, and he sounded the cymbals. Furthermore, Asaph also wrote part of the Bible. To be precise, 12 of the 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms were written by Asaph, and that is the one in which we read where he almost became a backslider, namely Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, we find out the tactics that the devil was using on Asaph to bring him down, if that would be possible, and what Asaph was thinking about in regards to the wicked, because really that was the way that the devil was working on his mind. Asaph started out in verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 73, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I'd nearly lost my foothold." That's another way of saying he almost became a backslider. Now, the reason why he almost slipped and fell and became a backslider is stated in verse 3. It says, "For I had envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." But then in verse 4, he said this also about the wicked: "They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills." Folks, all those thoughts were lies, and they came from the devil. And the devil's temptation is very, very subtle. And again, notice, in this case, it's not about committing adultery. It's not about turning into some kind of doctrinal heretic. It's something totally different. It was a very, very subtle temptation. The first thing Asaph thought was true about the wicked, but wasn't, was that they have no concerns, no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong, free from the burdens common to man. That's glaring error. The way of the transgressor is hard, according to Proverbs 13:15. But that's not all. How often the righteous have sometimes been in the doctor's office because of different bodily afflictions, and it's filled with wicked people. All kind of unsaved people go to the doctors. Why? Because their physical bodies are sick and injured, just like the righteous sometimes. So when Asaph was pondering the thoughts that the devil subtly gave him, his mind was not on the truth of the Bible. We're going to come back to that in a minute. And had he been thinking about Scripture, never would he have even come close to being a backslider. Thank God he didn't backslide, but we're going to find out he wouldn't even have got as close as he did. When he was a potential target for the devil, it was very easy for the devil to deceive him when his mind was on wicked people here, allegedly observing how good they have at their prosperity, their physical health, etc., instead of the message of Scripture. That is what was happening to Asaph. Now, Asaph should have known Psalm 11, 6, and 7. It says, "On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face." It's the same Hebrew word in Psalm 11:6 about the wicked that Asaph used in his own psalm, Psalm 73, verse 3, where he said that he envied the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But here in Psalm 11:6 and 7, it says, fiery coals are going to be rained down upon them, burning sulfur is before them, and a scorching wind. Now, folks, there's nothing enviable about a person like that, eh? Let it also be known that if you ever hear anyone say that hell's not taught in the Old Testament, remind them of Psalm 11:6 and 7. So Asaph should have known it's the same group, the same wicked person in Psalm 11:6 as in Psalm 73, verse 3 that he observed, and he would have immediately stopped envying such a person. Any wicked person, rich or poor, healthy or sickly, popular or not, nothing there to envy, that's for sure. Asaph said, this is what the wicked are like. They're always carefree, they increase in wealth, Psalm 73, verse 12. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. In vain I've washed my hands in innocence, Psalm 73, verse 13. You can see what's happening to him. He's going lower and lower. He's being more and more deceived. The devil, the liar, was feeding him these corrupt thoughts because the devil wanted to defile him spiritually. What is this? In vain I've kept my heart pure. Just the opposite. That's victory right there. To keep your heart pure is victory. It's not in vanity that you keep your heart pure. Proverbs 23:17 says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. We are not to envy sinners, regardless what they might have before them. The mere fact that they are sinners, they're wicked, they're on the road to hell, automatically excludes them from being in any kind of enviable position. We should not envy anybody, period. So how does God see the wicked? This is what the Bible says, folks. The wicked, they're in spiritual darkness and death, under the power of Satan, separated from Christ, without hope, without God in the world, foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, without peace with God, harassed and helpless, powerless, in the trap of the devil, ensnared by the cords of his sin, blinded to the gospel, under the wrath of God and the dominion of darkness, self-seeking, reject the truth, follow evil, living an empty way of life. Again, there's nothing there to envy. The turning point, and this was the point of victory for Asaph, it's when he started to think about the big picture. Not just this life here and now, but eternity. The wicked are on the road to eternal conscious torment. That is what Asaph needed to grab hold of. It says in Psalm 73:17, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Notice that, folks. It's when he entered the sanctuary where he could be thinking about eternity and hearing the word of God, when the truth of God came forth, the big picture came into focus, and all of a sudden, boom, that is what Asaph needed. And for us today, we need to be reminded, as Jesus often did, about eternal fire, where the wicked are going. It is obviously irrational to envy anyone like that will be thrown into eternal fire. After Asaph snapped out of his delusion, he wrote this in verses 18 and 19. Surely you place them, that's the wicked, on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. And Psalm 73, verse 27 is a good verse to remember about the backslider. So are backsliders saved? Listen to what Asaph wrote by way of the Holy Spirit. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. All of them, even the backslider, those that fall away, those that turn away, those that don't continue in the faith. One other verse is very important to remember from Psalm 73. It's all important, but verse 28, this is what Asaph said. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. That's the testimony of the pure in heart. That is basic and vital truth, but in bold contrast, stark contrast to what Roman Catholicism teaches and what they want everyone to believe. In Roman Catholicism, their sovereign is Mary, and their Mary is also their refuge. That is accurate portrayal of Roman Catholicism. Indisputable, incontestable, and very disturbing. Pope John Paul II was one of the most idolatrous people in our generation of the recent past. He taught Mary, the mother of Jesus, was sovereign, co-redeemer with Jesus of the human race, and he endorsed the Fatima apparitions, which state that Mary is our refuge. After his death, the Pope was exalted to sainthood, and right now, believe it or not, Catholics are actually praying to Pope John Paul II because they think he's a saint. On Pope John Paul II's papal robe were the words in Latin, totus tus, and the letter M in his coat of arms. And that meant, Mary, I am all yours. Mary idolatry has been rampant in Catholicism for centuries. Shocking and horrific, but it actually gets worse. Look over on the Protestant side. After the death of Pope John Paul II, Billy Graham, that's world famous Billy Graham, was interviewed by Larry King. Their dialogue was revealing and very disheartening. It went like this. Quote, there is no question in your mind that he, Pope John Paul II, is with God now, unquote. And here's Billy Graham's answer, his reply. Listen to this, folks. Quote, oh no, there may be a question about my own, but I don't think Cardinal Wojtyla or the Pope. I think he's with the Lord because he believed. He believed in the cross. That was his focus throughout his ministry, the cross. No matter if you were talking to him from personal issue or ethical problem, he felt that there was the answer to all of our problems, the cross and the resurrection, and he was a strong believer, unquote. Now, folks, that is a total misrepresentation of Pope John Paul II, who the Roman Catholic Church called, back when he was alive, His Holiness and the Vicar of Christ. Billy Graham stated that his focus was on the cross. Well, if that was true, why wasn't his personal motto, Jesus, I'm all yours, like a Christian would say? Instead, the Pope's personal motto was, Mary, I am all yours. But that's not all. Billy Graham praised him and was sure he was in heaven. In fact, Billy Graham said there might be a question about his own salvation, but not about Pope John Paul II. Shocking. Unbelievable. And here's another fact about the Pope. When Pope John Paul II had an assassination attempt on his life in 1981, who did he thank for his life afterwards? Did he thank God? Oh, no, no. He thanked his sovereign Mary. Unbelievable, folks. And there is nothing admirable, nothing praiseworthy about any idolater, even if he is extremely popular like Pope John Paul II was. This is just a brief summary. Go to our website, evangelicaloutreach.org, and read a lot more about the Pope, this Pope here, John Paul II, Billy Graham, and many others just like Billy Graham. The established spiritual leaders of our day are disgraceful, corrupt, and deceived. They're blind guides of the blind, ear ticklers, and compromisers. This problem is so vast, it is almost a complete wipeout. And it's not just the Catholic, fawning, bootlicking, sniveling Billy Graham that is ridiculous and disgusting in what he said about Pope John Paul II. It is well-known other Protestant leaders as well, such as Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. So on April the 2nd, 2005, Pat Robertson of the 700 Club wrote this about Pope John Paul II. This is just after his death. Quote, I am deeply grieved as a great man passes from this world to his much deserved eternal reward. Pope John Paul II has been the most beloved religious leader of our age, far surpassing in popular admiration the leader of any faith. He has been a man of great warmth, profound understanding, deep spirituality, and indefatigable vigor. It was my great honor to meet with him at the residence of my good friend Cardinal O'Connor in New York and to sit in the consistory during the mass he conducted in Central Park, unquote. So Pat Robertson's good friend was the now deceased Catholic Cardinal O'Connor, and he, Pat Robertson, sat in the consistory with the other cardinals during mass that the Pope conducted. That means Pat Robertson sat next to a bunch of other Catholic cardinals during that mass. Now, folks, imagine the impression it would have left in the minds of the people who would have seen Jesus just sitting next to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians of his day. Not good. Shocking and stunning. This is very incriminating, but that was from the pen of Pat Robertson himself. The religious swamp of our hour needs to be drained and replaced with the God-fearing, non-compromising, true spiritual leaders for the sake of all the souls who want God's truth.
One thing the devil will never do when he's tempting you to sin is suggest the deep pain, regret, and sorrow that is awaiting all who yield to his sinful temptations. Ask any backslider and they'll tell you. Better yet, read the Bible, change accordingly, and resist the devil. pass our teachings on to others. Thank you. You can also contact us at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301.
Now let's go back again to the subject of the backslider. Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6 is a scripture that has terrified multitudes of backsliders, thinking that this is them, they fell away, they cannot return again by repentance, and therefore they're doomed to go to hell. But folks, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 is specifically speaking about people that committed a sin that could not be forgiven. So that sin implies it had to be eternal sin, which is exactly what they had to commit according to the historical context of that book. Remember, Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians. The pressure and the temptation back then was to return to the synagogue. To return to the synagogue, they would have to commit a unique kind of sin. According to chapter 10, verse 29, they would have to treat as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and thereby insult the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace is the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, another way of saying eternal sin, which Jesus spoke of in Mark chapter 3, 22 through 30. And there, more explicitly, it was committed by those that said Jesus had a demon, and by the power of the devil we performed his miracles. So the people in Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6, that committed this type of horrendous sin that could not be forgiven, that had already fallen away, this is not hypothetical, they had already fallen away and could not come back through repentance. It was not the typical type of sin that backsliders commit, such as sexual immorality or drunkenness or wild living or drug abuse or whatever it might be. Remember also very clearly, folks, King David committed adultery and murder and he was forgiven through repentance. Hezekiah fell through pride, yet he got forgiven through repentance. Read 2 Chronicles 32, 24 through 26. Peter disowned Jesus 3 times, and he got forgiven through repentance, came back, as did the other apostles, because all the apostles fell away. Of course, Judas betrayed Jesus, went out and hung himself and went to hell. But the other ones, the other 10, besides Peter, of course, being the 11th, they were all forgiven through repentance. The prodigal son was in wild living and with the prostitutes in Luke 15, and he got forgiven through repentance. These examples prove that those in Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6 did not commit these types of sins, such as disowning Jesus, adultery, murder, pride, being with the prostitutes, wild living, that kind of thing. Jesus said, every kind of blasphemy is forgivable except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Even more notable than David was the 11 apostles who also came back to salvation, folks. Think about that. They came back to God. God took them back and they'll take the backslider back too upon repentance. Anything to the contrary is a lie and it's designed to destroy the backslider. God wants the backslider back, and according to the prodigal teaching in Luke 15, they celebrated when the backslider returned to God to serve him. The only time the Father has ever shown running and kissing anyone is the returned backslider. So if you're a backslider, stop allowing the devil to fill your mind with lies to the contrary. The Bible is God's truth, and God's truth is spiritual reality. Repent and return to salvation. Become alive again as the prodigal did. That is what God wants everyone to know. Now with the prevalent lie and heresy called once saved, always saved, or eternal security, the people that are believing that and backslidden, they don't realize they need to repent for salvation's sake. So our experience proves that such people don't repent. They just don't repent until they realize once saved, always saved is false, again showing that this doctrine of once saved, always saved is designed by the devil to destroy souls. So here's some more advice for the repentant backslider. Number one, do not go by your feelings. You got to go by the written word of God. Go by the Bible. Believe what the Bible says. Your feelings don't indicate reality. If you were traveling north in a bus but felt you were traveling south, your feelings would not prove you were traveling south. By dying spiritually, the backslider lost his wonderful, joyful, peaceful relationship with God. And that peace and that joy of salvation will return after a while. But if you're a backslider, don't aim for that. Don't look for the feeling. Just draw near to God. James 4, 8 through 9 says, come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, repent and come back to God like the prodigal, and God will take you back. He wants you back. Secondly, another piece of advice for the repentant backslider is focus on the now and not the past. It is not God that's reminding you of your past sins. It is the devil. As far as God is concerned, those sins were forgiven and forgotten. For you to think about the past will put the door wide open for paralyzing and crippling guilt that leads to serious depression and dread. Get out of the past and get into the present. Get in the here and the now and move on with God. And backsliders who once had a ministry, please remember what happened to Peter. Peter was an apostle. He had a great ministry before he disowned Jesus 3 times. He came back to God, so was he ruined after he came back? No. He wrote part of the Bible afterwards. 1 and 2 Peter. Also, you read the first 11 chapters of the book of Acts, and you'll see how influential he was in the earliest church. Read what he did, read what he preached, read his boldness, and how God used him in an exceptional manner in the first 11 chapters in the book of Acts. And before Peter disowned Jesus 3 times, he held the highest office in the church. He heard demons cry out that Jesus is the Son of God. He saw Jesus walking on water. He saw Jesus multiply the loaves and the fish and raise people from the dead, including Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. And much more he's seen. He heard Jesus' teachings firsthand. He saw Jesus stand boldly against the corrupt religious leaders of that day. And then he disowned Jesus. And God took him back after he repented. So why would you think he won't take you back? If you're a backslider, God wants you back if you repented. If that's you, live in the present and serve God. Move on with God. Go after souls. And you'll get the joy of your salvation restored after you start helping people. And David also prayed that the joy of his salvation would be restored in Psalm 51. David, now remember, he committed adultery and murder, the most vile type of murder that you could possibly commit, and to one of his faithful soldiers, all to cover up his own adultery. In Psalm 51, David wrote, now this is David after he had already come back to salvation, because his prayer of repentance, Psalm 51 verses 1 and 2 and verses 7 through 10 show that he cried out for mercy. God took him back. And this is what David wrote. Listen to this. Do not cast me from your presence or take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So even though David had returned to salvation through repentance, he probably was thinking what happened to King Saul, how the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him in 1 Samuel 16:14, and he prayed that the same thing wouldn't happen to him. So Psalm 51 could be called the prayer of a backslider. Without question, a backslider in the Bible is a person who once had salvation but has since turned away from the Lord Jesus to the point that he is spiritually dead and lost again, just like he was before becoming initially saved. And the truly saved can backslide regardless who the person is, even if he wrote part of the Bible in the past. And the following scriptures are crystal clear, revealing that the backslider is definitely a spiritually lost person. Psalm 125 verse 5, those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with evildoers. To turn to crooked ways means that you were not walking in crooked ways prior to turning to them. This is referring to a backslider. Also, Proverbs 21:16, a man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. Ezekiel concurs, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. Clearly, that's the message that God wants us all to know. Now listen in contrast to how Charles Stanley, popular, well-known, beloved Charles Stanley, contradicts scripture to be consistent with the doctrine of once saved, always saved.
So the question is, can a person be saved by the grace of God, born again, new creation in Christ Jesus, and slip back into sin and still go to heaven? Yes, you can.
Clearly, just from that alone, the swamp needs to be drained. You heard before of an actual quote from Pat Robertson, what he wrote about the Pope. Now listen to what Pat Robertson of the 700 Club has to say about the backslider. Listen to this.
This is Victoria, who says, I asked Jesus into my heart over 15 years ago, then backslid due to drugs. If a backslidden Christian dies while in their sin, will they still be saved?
I believe so. I know that there are those who disagree.
Folks, stop sending your money into the religious swamp. Jesus taught the backslider, we commonly call the prodigal, was both spiritually dead and lost when he was in wild living and with the prostitutes. But all once saved, always saved teachers deny what Jesus taught by believing their myth. They all teach exactly the same way. They believe there are Christian adulterers, Christian drunks, Christian thieves, Christian swindlers, and Christian slanderers, etc. Jesus said of that prodigal when he repented, he became alive again, he got saved again. Hebrews 6:4-6 did not apply to this prodigal. And there's no way of knowing how long the prodigal was in wild living. It could have been for many years, maybe decades. How do you prevent becoming a backslider? 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. Test everything, hold on to the good. What does that mean to hold on to the good? To hold on to the tested truth. Hold on to the message of the Bible. And it goes on, it says in this passage, avoid every kind of evil. That means avoid certain people, certain places, and certain things. And not only that, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. If you're running around with bad company, you're going to be corrupted according to the word of God. And the bad company here is not just people that are outrightly, overtly wicked, but also false teachers. People that are teaching a license to sin that have changed and distorted grace. And people that are compromising the message of the Bible for some temporal benefit here. But that's not all. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy 17, we find out what the king needed to do so he would never backslide. Had Saul done that, had David done that, neither one would have ever backslide. The same holds true with Solomon. Listen to this. It says, and when he, the king, takes the throne for his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law taken from the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully the words of this law, these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over the kingdom in Israel. So the king needed to write out the scriptures for himself, not have somebody else write it for him. He needed to do it, and that'll help you if you write out scriptures. The king is to take the Bible with him wherever he would go and read it regularly every day, and that will also be a good thing for you to do. That will help prevent you from backsliding. If this would work with the kings of Israel, who certainly the devil would want to take down, because if the devil could take the king down, he's going to drag many others down with him. So if it'll work for the king, it'll work for you. Remember, he that endures to the end will be saved. There's good news for the repentant backslider. If you ever backslide, but you don't have to backslide. Resist the devil. No temptation will come to you that you have to yield to. Remain true. Keep yourself pure. But those that have fallen, they can come back to God. They can return to God. The joy of their salvation will be restored. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you.
If you have been helped by our teachings or want a free ministry packet of various gospel tracts and 2 stirring CDs, please contact us at Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. God bless you.